cherubim shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim shine forth.
Amen. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Hello, welcome everyone this morning. Oh, Shani has so read up on her. I don't know. No, I don't know. We worship you, Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. Sion, Bessia, Feleng, Lavana, Haina, Ficassia, Mani, His own Shah, Ayo, Serene, Ivani, and Ona, Mahir and Shali Kasu Mazaria and also Brona to Seal or Goresia, Laura, Messiah, and Laura Dina, Marado, the Messiah, Kaido, Holia, Anon. Song of Solomon, Chapter 1. Verse 1, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Kiss me with the kisses of your lips. 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 Ishani ma, esani lohora dana, eneseya, prashin lekilia, eseya on brahid, father, prefer father, hana mana kado, Anoint Christ, the Christ, the Anasi anointed. So anointed, you are so anointed. You're so anointed. And Sia, Eishamai, Abaddon. Oh, it's better than wine. Kiss me with the kisses of your lips, for your love is better, it's better, it's better, it's better than wine, than all the wines of the world, than all the wines of the world, it's better. Yosashi Aidishana Elimata Kraisa Pratisa Prona. O Shada, Alehidava, Asa, kiss my soul, kiss my soul, kiss my soul, kiss our soul. Yes, Jesus, our Lord, Shire. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 2. It says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better. Thy love is better than wine. Your love is intoxicating. Your love is a wine in itself, but it's a better wine than all the other wines. You impart your wine, you will give me to drink by kisses. Every kiss from your mouth is a pouring of wine. Every kiss from you, every experience of being kissed by you is a transmission of spirit. You are giving your wine, and the wine of your spirit to us, which wine which make it glad, which gladdens, which which intoxicates your love. Oh, kiss me with the kisses of your lips. Your love, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Amen. So you see that this kiss is here. It's not just like a man kissing a woman, right? This is speaking of a soul encounter. A soul encounter, because he who is going to kiss is a spirit. Praise the Lord. So he who they are speaking of here, who this song is writing about, is actually the lover in the spirit. Praise the Lord. We have a lover. Amen. Christ is that lover. He's anointed. Christ is the anointed one. He's a spirit. So when you are kissed by him, there's a transfer of his spirit. And his spirit is that which makes glad. It produces gladness. He received that by impartation. Remember when the Bible said that the Lord your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows, the oil of gladness. And the oil which the Christ is anointed by is a glad oil, is an oil that makes glad. So when he comes to you and he fellowships with you, this kiss is a vehicle of to transmit content, heart content. Praise the Lord. What inspires a kiss is the content of the heart, movements of the heart. When the heart is moving within and there is an allure, there's an attraction. There's a great attraction in the spirit that Christ has towards us. That attraction is strong. Praise the Lord. It's the attraction that binds your spirit to his spirit. When you are raised from the dead, it says he that is joined with Christ is what? Is one spirit with him. Praise the Lord. And when your spirit is joined with him, your soul now comes into a love relationship. The day you got born again, you had a new lover. Praise the Lord. You had a new lover. His name is Christ in the spirit, and he's anointed. And it's not possible for you to have fellowship with him and not come into his anointing. When you fellowship with the Christ, he's the anointed one. When you fellowship with him, praise the Lord, you come into his anointing. Amen. So this kiss is a metaphor. Let's say a metaphor. It's a metaphor. Praise the Lord. A kiss is an expression of love. Do you agree? So when love is being expressed and the content of the heart, the lover has a desire to convey his heart content, praise the Lord, to the other. And that's where a kiss comes from. So he says, for your love is better than wine. So wine here is a type of the spirit. Amen. Wine means something that
intoxicate, something that gladdens. You know, wine makes glad. Do you agree?
Yeah.
If you're sad, drink some wine, you become glad all of a sudden. Amen. You become happy. Praise the Lord. But Christ has his wine. Amen. Christ, Jesus Christ is not just that a man who became perfect and is looking and judging you and saying, let's see, you know, counting your wrongs and right. He's doing that because he has to raise you and present you blameless before the throne of his Father. So by judgment, he's able to see your shortcomings and is able to officiate for you in his priestly ministry, amen, to bring you to perfection. But the process is actually a great love, is a love program. Is amen. Praise the Lord. Is a love program because he's in love with us. We're in love with him. And it's the more you grow, you ascend in God, the higher into his love you come into. Because every encounter with Christ is a baptism into God's love. Praise the Lord. And it's a pleasurable thing. Amen. So let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Amen. Because of the savour of thy good ointments. So you see the word ointment there, right? Ointment means the anointing. Or an ointment is the oil, an anointing oil. Praise the Lord. Anointing oil that contains the substances of the anointing. Okay. Now, you know how they made the anointing oil in the Old Testament? They bring the oil and then they have some substances they put in it. Like, you know, cassia, they put cinnamon, right, myrrh. Praise the Lord. So they are spices, right? They will grind the spices. And those spices have scent. So an ointment here is not just saying oil alone. Oil is just the base. Oil is a solvent that's used to create the anointing. Or when you finished producing it, it becomes the anointing oil. Right? Or the oil is not. So the anointing oil is not just an oil. It's an oil that has substances in it. Praise the Lord. So when you have an ointment, that's what they're saying here in verse 3. It says, because of the savour. What is the word savour? Smell, right? A sweet smelling savour. I mean, there's a scent, a pleasurable scent that comes from the ointment because of the savour of thy good ointments. Amen. Because of the savour of thy good ointments, thy name is what? As an ointment that is what? Poured forth. Therefore, do the virgins love thee? Praise the Lord. So, your name, his name, amen. Now, when he comes, when the beloved, our beloved, who's Christ, when he comes to us, what he actually wants to give you is his name. Do you agree? Right? When I came to her, I said, do you want to bear my name? She said, yes. I'm interested in bearing your name. Because that's just a type, amen, in the natural, of the order in the spirit. The man, the woman, amen, the man proposes to the woman, and the woman decides, whether, do I want your name or not? And if I love your name, if I like your name, praise the Lord, then I will agree. I say, okay, no problem, I will take your name. And we come joined together. It's not possible for you to be joined with the Lord and not have his name. When the name of the Lord is in your spirit, but we haven't come into his name, right, in our soul yet. So our soul is still in the state where we are being wooed. We are still being, Jesus is pursuing us around the place. And we are doing yanga. Say, no, Jesus, no, Jesus. There are many other guys. There are many guys around, you know, some nice, cute guys who they're also talking to me, you know. You're not the only one. Not the only one talking to me. That's praise the Lord. Now, what are these other guys? Who are they? What are they? What? They are things. The world and the devil, he said. So it means that the soul can is surrounded by lovers. The soul is surrounded by lovers who have wines and they have ointments with different savors. And Christ has his own too. You know, he's very humble. He didn't come and kill all of them and take you and captive. He also brought his own oil and his own wine and he's bringing it to you. And he brought his own name too. Amen.
Amen.
So daily, what's going on? Christ is trying to get you. And Christ has things. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He's loaded with what? Yes. He has equipment. He has his keys. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He has his wine. He has his oil. Amen. Now, it says that because of the savour of your good ointment, this is speaking concerning the Lord now. It says your name is as an ointment poured forth. It means there's a fragrance to your name, right? There is an appeal to your name. There's a scent. So if it says because of the savour, amen, of your good ointment, your name is as an ointment. So it means that that name, if it has a savour, the name is anointed.
Yes.
Right? He has an anointed name. His name is anointed. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, now, when he comes to you with a promise. He is a promise. When a lover comes to you, what is he coming? Any lover who's coming to talk to a lady and doesn't have any promise, what are you coming to do? Right? What are you coming to do? Are you just coming to hang out with me? No. You need to bring your promises. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And based on the promise that I'm seeing, or the lady sees, that's what will instruct her judgment or her decision making. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
So his name, is in his name you will find promises. The promises of his name is the promises of his anointing. And those are the promise of his wine. Does it make sense? Amen. And when you smell a savour, everything, when you smell a nice savour, that smell is a promise. They agree. The thing, it might be here, and you smell it, that thing is giving you a promise. That's, come and take me, come to me, come to me, come to me. It's pulling you. That pull is a promise. It's showing you that there is goodness here. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So when you smell, based on that smell, you can locate something by savour. Right? When something has a good savour, where is that smell coming from? You begin to look around. Where is it coming from? Oh, it's there. You locate it. Praise the Lord. That smell is a promise. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So Jesus Christ, when he comes to you, he's coming with a promise. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And the promises of God are his names. Right? The end of his actual promise is the name of his Father. That's the promise of Christ. Right? It's his Father's name. His Father's name. That's his end promise. Really, if you travel to the end, what is he really promising us? He's promising you that I will, if you accept me, if you come through the process through the name of the Holy Ghost first, because you can't come first to the Son. You have to start with the name of the Holy Ghost. And then if you can graduate from that name into the name of the Son, and then you will receive the final promise, which is the name of the Father. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, the name of the Father is eternal life. That is a promise. Amen. Amen. Let's see 1 John chapter 2. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
1 John chapter 2. Verse 23. Okay, let's read from verse 20, please.
But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things.
Okay.
I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth.
Okay, now, that word unction, what is the word unction there? What does it mean?
Anointing.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Now, what is anointing? Anointing is the Spirit. Okay. Now, if the Holy Spirit is separate from a man, he's the Spirit. Okay, in his own separate person, that's the Spirit. Okay. But when the Spirit comes upon a man, he becomes the anointing. Yes. Praise the Lord. Does it make sense? Okay. So that definition of anointing, the substance of the anointing is the Spirit, right? That's the person. What they want to really anoint you with is a person. They want to bring you into the stature, right? And it's not just anointing on top of you. There's an anointing within operation too, which is the Spirit of God. But the word anointing, okay, when it says anointing, it tells you that is the Spirit that is in a man. Or when anointing comes upon something. Amen. I can bring one a can of oil here. Mm-hmm. Right? Well, if you're just looking at it, it's a jar of oil. Okay? But you can also call it an anointing. But when you call it an anointing, you are making reference to it with respect to its function of being used to anoint. Does it make sense? So when you see the word anointing in the Bible now, that's why they use the anointing instead of just Spirit. Right? They'll say you have an anointing. They'll say anointing. They use that telling you that it is not a Spirit that is independent of you. Right? They are speaking of the dimension of the Spirit that has come into you. Either upon or within. There are two kinds of anointing. There's anointing upon and there's the anointing what? Within. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, this unction is also the anointing. You have an anointing. Some other translations will say anointing, right? You have an anointing, praise the Lord, from the Holy One, and what? You know what? Okay, continue.
I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth.
Yeah.
Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ?
Yes.
He is Antichrist. That denieth the Father and the Son.
Okay, see that word there? So it's anti-Christ. What's the meaning of Christ, Sharon? The anointed one. So when the anti-Christ is anti the anointed one. So he that is anti the anointed one, anti means you are denying them. So that tells you that the anointed one is the person who delivers the Father and the Son. Because he is the anti-Christ, is he that denieth, right? The Father, amen, and the Son. So you need the anointing or the Christ to come into the Father and what? And the Son. Amen. Now, it says verse 23. Sorry. Go on.
Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father.
Okay.
But he that acknowledgeth the Son,
yes,
hath the Father also.
Okay.
Let that therefore abide in you. Which ye have heard from the beginning.
Okay.
If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall continue in the Son and in the Father.
Okay.
And this is the promise that he hath promised us.
Even eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So it says that if that which you have from the beginning remain in you, then ye will continue in the Son. Amen. And the Father. So continuing means there's a journey. There's a process to it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, continuing, that's actually continuing onto a promise. Okay. The promise is a promised end that you arrive at. But there's a way you ought to, something you need to abide in. Amen. That what we ought to abide in is what? Is the anointing. Praise the Lord. If you abide in the anointing or in the anointed one, then you will arrive, because it's he that denieth that anointing, that is the Christ, which is the Antichrist, he that denied that anointing will not come to the Father and the Son. Right? But if you continue, say, let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning, if that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall what? Continue in the Son and in the Father. Praise the Lord. Now, continuing in the abiding in the anointing helps you continue in the Son and in the Father. Now, continuing in the Son and in the Father will now bring you into the promise. Continuing in the anointing, Sophia, continuing the anointing will bring you into what? The Son and what? And the Father. So you will gain the statures, right, of the Son and the Father. Yes. Yes. So the Spirit now, not the anointed one yet. The anointed one is Christ. Okay, that anointed one is not just the oil, or just the Spirit alone. That anointed one is a stature. Someone who has the anointed one is a kind of person. It's not just a person who has Holy Ghost on him. Is a person who has come into the stature of the anointing. And that anointed one is who Christ is. Does it make sense? Okay. Now, you can't get to the stature of the anointing. You don't start from there. You have to start from the name of the Holy Ghost. Right? That is the first baptism you undergo. The name of the Holy Ghost begins. And the beginning of the name of the Holy Ghost, you get born again. And then you get filled, right, with the Holy Ghost. Then the Holy Ghost now begins to increase in you. That name, that person of the Holy Ghost, as it's increasing, you increase to the point where the eyes that's needed, those seven spirits are the full eyes that's needed to see the full stature of the anointing or the anointed one in the Spirit. Now, the stature of the anointed one in the Spirit is actually the Logos, is the Word. Okay? Now, Logos is the Word that has not been made flesh. Understand? Or Logos is the Word that has not yet been made into a man. When the Logos that has not been delivered into a man is just Logos. Right? When the Logos has been delivered into a man, it becomes the Son. And that's the second name. You see it. Now, in the holy place, when you are in the holy place, you see on the left-hand side, as you're passing through, you're going towards the final veil. On the left hand, you'll see the seven golden candlesticks, which symbolizes the seven spirits, right? Which is the fullness of the menorah, the teaching spirits. Now, those teaching spirits, the job of those spirits, amen, is to see the Logos in the Spirit. When a man can see the Logos, then the Logos can be translated into a stature of what? Of Christ, of the Son. So that's why on the left-hand side, you'll see the menorah. On the right-hand side, you'll see the showbread. That bread is Christ. But that bread is Christ in bread form that should be eaten. Or Christ in, you get it. It's not the stature. It's Christ the bread. Or Christ the Word. Because you need the eyes to see the Word, to discern the Logos in the Spirit. You understand? When you are fully finished the course or that bread, then you can move on, right, to the altar for incense that will cause the veil to part. So you see, the moving between, when you are able to fulfill the journey and pass through between the candlestick and the bread, by the time you finish that process, it means by that time the person who offers incense upon that golden altar before the veil is not just word or logos in the spirit. It is now the full stature of Christ. You understand? That person has become a priest. A priest is a stature. Praise the Lord. So you need the operation of the seven spirits. And what? And the bread. The bread is Christ. Is the bread of life. Amen. Now Jesus, first, who that child Jesus, he had to eat that bread. So he was a child. By the time Jesus was 10, 11, 5, he didn't have all the logos inside him. You understand? Now John chapter 14, chapter 1, sorry, just says, and the word, what, was made flesh, or became flesh, and dwelt among us. It just sounds like one verse. It's just the same. But the word was made flesh, like one instant, and then it was made flesh. But no, but that statement took 30 years to complete for it to happen, where the Logos has become what? Has entered into a man. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. So where the full Logos has been downloaded inside a man, it took that 30 years to happen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Is it making sense? Okay, if there's any question, ask me. Amen. So we're able to, now you're able to differentiate between, that's why, so, you see those seven candlesticks, this is what I was trying to show to you. See the seven candlesticks on one side and the showbread on the other side. Okay? Now that candlestick by itself, you can't call that candlestick the anointed one. Right? That candlestick is the Holy Ghost. The candlestick is not Christ itself, right? But that candlestick is a structure that casts the eyes that should be able to fetch the word in the spirit to produce the stature and the person of Christ. But when that stature of Christ now finishes building, is built fully, you will look at him and he might look like a candlestick to you because he also has the horns and the eyes too. Like the vision of him I saw of the Lamb in Revelation chapter 5, right? So there was a vision in Revelation of the candlestick, the seven spirits that are before the throne. And so that seven spirits before the throne, in chapter 5, right, it says he had seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God before his throne. Those seven spirits before his throne are actually the seven spirits. Praise the Lord. Now when it says before the throne usually implies just before the final veil. Because when you enter past the final veil, you've entered the oracle dimension, which is the tabernacle of God. So the altar of incense, for example, is called the altar before the throne. Because it's just before. Once you're past that altar, you're seeing the veil to enter into the holiest of all. Now, when it says the seven spirits, amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. We worship you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to go through a different route. So, let's not deviate, okay? Now, the Father and the Son, if you have the what? The anointing. Amen. By the anointing of the anointed one, you will come into what? The Son, and then the coming to the Father. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Son is the stature, is the name. It takes the stature of the Christ, right, to be raised for you to come into the name of the Son. When you see the word name, name means a fullness. A fullness. Okay. Now you can come into things of the Son, but you might not have received his name until you come to fullness. Because the name means a seal. That's why when you come to fullness of the Holy Ghost, in that book of Luke chapter 4. Say, and Jesus Christ being full of the Spirit. Full means that he has come into that name of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Now, you can come into fullness of the Son. You will come into the name of the Son. Praise the Lord. And then you can come into the name of the Father as well. Each name is a seed. Praise the Lord. Now, the Father is the one who receives. Everything beyond the second veil is God. Does it make sense? Now, inside that second veil, when you get there, you will still see the Son there. You will still see Christ there, obviously. Right? The Holy Ghost is still there. Amen. But all of them are all fullness. When all those have become fullness, you enter into God. God is that being in where all fullness have what? That's why in the presence of God, you see fullness of joy. Pleasures what? Forevermore. God is fullness. Praise the Lord. God is also glory, because the destination of sonship is glory. And that glory is in God. Is it making sense? Praise the Lord. Amen. So these are just wisdoms in the scripture to show us graduations. Praise the Lord. Now, I want us to see that the name of the Holy Ghost, the name of the Son, the name of the Father are all names of the anointing. They are all what?
Names of the
they are all names of the anointing. All of God's names, all those names of divinity, those are the three persons of divinity. All those names are what? Anointing. So, there's the anointing of what? The Holy Ghost. And there's the anointing of the Son. Praise the Lord. And then there's the anointing of the Father. Or when those anointings have come into fullness, that's when you come into what? Into God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God is the promise. Praise the Lord. Now, 1 John chapter 2, verse 24, it says, "Let that therefore abide in you, which we have heard from the beginning. If that which we have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall continue in the Son and in the Father." And then this is the promise that he has what? Promised us, even what? Eternal life. This is the promise he has promised us, even what? Eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
Now, what is eternal life? Eternal life is God. Eternal life is what?
God.
Eternal life is what? Say it again. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not just God general. You know, when I say God, now which dimension am I speaking of? The what? The divine what? Yes, divine nature. What did he say? The fullness, which is the most holy. So the eternal life is a property of what? The most holy place. When you come into the stature of eternal life. Understand? Now, as you are in every phase you are in that journey, you are receiving properties of eternal life. They are depositing life in you, bit by bit, right? What makes up the name of the Son is deposit of eternal life. That it comes to its level where it's in sonship level. Then it will increase to a fatherhood level. But those are dimensions. When you now see you've arrived at the stature of eternal life is when the fullness of Christ and God have been built up in you, you will come into eternal life. Eternal life simply is God life, a life that can never die, that can never be diminished, that can never be killed, because it's eternal. It's everlasting, but not just quantity, in terms of quality. There's nothing you will bring against that life that can defeat it. Adam had a life, but it wasn't eternal life, because sin came, sin killed him. But eternal life, when you have eternal life, sin and death will come. Eternal life is a life that is victorious over sin and what? And death. You don't overcome death until you have overcome the second veil. You understand? That second veil, right, that goes from the holy place into the most holy, That's the veil where death is overcome. That's where death, the Bible says, the last enemy in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The last enemy which shall be destroyed is what? Is death. So until that last enemy has been destroyed, you haven't come into eternal life. Because if there's an enemy out there you've not overcome, you can be enjoying your life now. But if the enemy comes, your life is in trouble. You understand? So you might wonder, why all these classifications, the son, the spirit, and then all these things, why can't you just bring everything at once? No, it's because everybody who will come to God must be tried. You understand? For before they will prove you and say, okay, you have come to stature of eternal life, they have to check at what point have you overcome the wicked one. If you haven't overcome Satan, they can't just carry you into the throne of God. Praise the Lord. So you must have overcome him. Everybody who will gain access into that dimension, amen, where you have true fellowship with God. Fellowshipping with God means fellowship with his life. You understand this? Praise the Lord. Now in the spirit, when we are using fellowship in this dimension, in dimension of knowledge, it's not just God is here, I'm here, and we are talking. It's more than that. You understand? Fellowship is that the life in him is the same life in me. When we've entered that same life, if you have a different life, I have a different life, and we are trying to communicate, it's not real fellowship. You understand? But when he all is sub, means that his depth can hit my depth, and I can give him a corresponding response. If God comes and opens his depth to us and begins to speak, we won't even hear anything. You see his mouth, I mean, God, what are you saying? Because there's no instruction, there's nothing within you that can capture what he's saying, because you've not been raised to that state of judgment. So there is no fellowship with God. I mean, we can go to heaven. The fact you're in heaven doesn't mean you can commune with God. You will just see him as a mystic being somewhere. You won't come into fellowship with him without knowledge of him. Knowledge of him in terms of his life. You need two equal life forms to communicate. Can you gist with a dog? You can't gist with a dog because they are living a lower life than you are. You might love them, pet them, oh, you know. But there is no, what? Rapport. It's not fellowship. Because the kind of things that stimulates you, the kind of conversations you want to have, the emotions within your soul, when you look at a dog, those things are not present in there. That's the way it is in the realm of the spirit. So if you've not received a life of a certain realm, you can't function in that realm. You can go to heaven, but if the degree of communion you have with God is the degree of eternal life, you understand, that you have received within you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
In John chapter 17, he said, "This is eternal life." That was Jesus speaking, right? John 17, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Are we making progress today? Yes. It says, verse 33, right? Verse 17, it says, "This was spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as what thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and who? Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." So the knowledge of God is eternal life. Praise the Lord. So you can't have eternal life without what? Without the knowledge of God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Now let's read 1 John chapter 1. It says, "That which was from the beginning," 1 John chapter 1, "that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of what? The word of life." Now, there's what you call the word of life. And there's eternal life. The word of life is like the showbread. Understand? The word of life is not yet the stature of life. But when that word of life has been translated and built up in a man, it becomes what? The stature of what? Eternal life. Does it make sense? Praise the Lord. So he says there are things which we have seen. So these processes of, first of all, we saw it. We have heard first. We heard it. And then we saw it. And then we looked upon it. And then our hands handled it. Handling means we began to use it. So they are telling you what you should do with the word of life. Don't frame it and keep it somewhere and hang it and be you know, and be just, what? Checking it out every day. Wow, what a lovely life. What a beautiful, you know, some of us have that attitude towards rev. Ah, mighty. Hey, when the rev comes, this rev has slain me. Mighty, you'll be happy. But you can rejoice in rev. It's good to rejoice in revelation because these things are joy. What? If you know what they are giving you, you will just jump up and run back and forth 10 times and come and sit down back. If you know what is being deposited in you, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you know what God has been transmitting to us through words, we are coming into understanding of the divine life, the life that created everything, everything that is, just the present, the spiritual, that's just even a tiny portion. God said, okay, I won't even just show you only the hand dimension, I will actually open my face to you. That's what it is. This is administration of his face. Praise the Lord. It takes the face of God to bring you into the life of God, because the face, through the face, you gain access into his countenance. And his countenance means the content of his person. That is where eternal life is. Amen.
Amen.
So as these words are coming, they are not something just to rejoice in and frame and then they are lovely. And no, you handle them. How do you handle them? You are using them. You want to use them to live. Praise the Lord. You have to bring the word down and then begin to use it. Let the word affect your judgment. Don't listen to revelation and keep living the same way you are living. And then keep coming and going and going and nothing is changing. Praise the Lord. They didn't just hear it. They saw it. They didn't just see it. Seeing is, oh, we saw it, nice. And they moved their eyes and went somewhere else. No. After they saw it, it caught their attention. Then they came and looked upon it. Looking upon means you are hearing day after day. You're not taking your eyes off the word. Praise the Lord. You will stay the cause of patience to the point where it stops being mystical and far away and abstract to you. Something that's abstract can become, you can divide it just by keeping your gaze on it. You look at it till that abstraction will be dissolved and you will begin to resolve it because you've looked upon it. That's how we ought to take the word. Some people want, well, this revelation, well, I heard it, but I'm not changing. What's happening? You know, they can feel discouraged. Okay, why am I not, what I heard yesterday, last week, why haven't I come into it by this week? And sometimes, because they are not seeing that easy, quick, you know, translation from word to stature, some people can now begin to attack the word and get offended. Ah, the word is just talk, it's not real, it's not this, it's not that. That's the devil. You can't just come into stature by just, I just came last week. No. You should keep coming and coming and hearing and hearing and hearing and listening and listening and looking upon the word. Right? Nobody can sincerely tell me that they have sown their time into the word of righteousness, into the scripture, and the scripture is not opening to you. God is no respecter of persons. There's nobody that because God likes you so much, so he now gave you special access. No. Praise the Lord. But he is no respecter of persons. It's according to, when you are coming to a river to draw, according to how big your vessel is, that determines what you will take. You come with one, you're just passing by. Let me just branch and take one tiny cup and go. What the deposit you will have won't be the same as somebody who brought his camping gear to come and camp by the river. Praise the Lord. And is drinking every day. You can't be the same. It's not possible. Praise the Lord. Somebody who hears once a week, just maybe one meeting, once a week meeting, you are there, you attend, keep the calendar today. I attended though. Till next week again. Amen. Someone who's like that, there's no way you can have the same stature of someone who hears, goes home, listen to it again. Then the next day, open it again, open the scriptures, and you are dividing it. Okay, this, you pause it. Okay, rewind it. And then what's that thought? You crack that thought. You pray, Father, what does this thing mean? You call, okay, what you said that time, what did you mean by say that? And you, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, someone like that, and someone who just comes on and just hears and goes, can you be the same? You can't. It's not possible. So spiritual stature doesn't just come by. He says these things. He said, continue in them. Paul said to Timothy. Say, he said, give yourself unto these things. Praise the Lord. Continue in these things. Give yourself entirely to them. Wholly. Give yourself wholly. W-H-O-L-L-Y. Wholly to them that your profiting might appear. Understand? Mm-hmm. So for profit to begin to appear, where you are changing. I'm actually changing. What's going on? It means that you have given yourself what? Holy unto them. You didn't just hear. You just saw. You didn't just see. You looked upon. And then you began to what? To handle. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Which we are, our hands are what? Handled of the word of life. See, for the life was manifested. We have seen it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, you see it, which was with the Father and was then manifested to us. Praise the Lord. So that which we have seen and heard, that's what we declare unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, that fellowship is speaking of here, F.A., is the fellowship of what? Eternal life. Because that is what they saw and heard. Remember? Verse 2. See, for the life was manifested, that which we have seen it, and then bear witness and show unto you that eternal life. So what we are showing unto you, is saying showing unto you, is the same thing as saying we are declaring to you that you might have fellowship with us. So, they are declaring things to you that you might have fellowship with them in that life which they have come to handle. Amen.
Amen.
So you now understand that fellowship, like I said before, here is not just talking, is that the same life which is in that is in who you want to have fellowship with is the same life that is in you. And the way that life comes is through what? Knowledge. This is eternal life that they might what? Know you. The one true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Praise the Lord. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with what? His Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4. And these things write we unto you that what? Your joy may be full. So these properties are each one is a deposit of joy. Amen. It takes the anointing to produce joy. Nobody can come into joy without being anointed. You know? Joy is not happiness. It's not feeling good. We're talking about joy, real joy. Praise the Lord. Because in the presence of God, there is what? Fullness of joy. At His right hand are what? Pleasures forevermore. Amen. So it will take eternal life to produce fullness of joy. When eternal life is being ministered to you, they are ministering portions of joy to you. Because eternal life is conveyed by the vehicle of the anointing. And the anointing is a joy. Praise the Lord. That savour is a joyous savour. When you smell it, joy comes to your heart. Praise the Lord. See, because of the savour of thy good ointment, your name is as anointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
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 So let that therefore abide in you, which we have heard from the beginning. If that which we have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, that's 1 John chapter 2, verse 24. If that which we have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise. So continuing is continuing unto a promise, right? And then this is the promise that he has promised us, even what? Eternal life. What is the promise? Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
So the journey of sanctification, praise the Lord,
Hallelujah.
Is the journey unto eternal life. Now when I say journey of sanctification, I mean the journey, because what brings to eternal life are levels of holiness, right? You're going from one level of holiness to the other, or one level of righteousness. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's from one righteousness to the other righteousness. You keep going in righteousness. As you are increasing in righteousness, you are approaching that state or that stature called what? Eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
And eternal life is the promise. Praise God. So the promise is eternal life. To arrive at that promise, the promise had to distribute itself into promises. You understand? Mm-hmm. You need promises. Eternal life is God's kind of life. Okay? That's God's own, or God's life is God's nature. Okay? So God's nature is divine nature. That's a divine nature. Praise the Lord. Which is the nature, when you enter the most holy place, the kind of nature you will find is the nature of God. That's the divine nature. You won't find any kind of trait or behavior that is outside God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
So, it will take coming into promises. Because every level, you need to graduate. That's what we've been learning, right? We've been trying to give us definition into graduations. Because each name is a graduation, a seal. You graduate, they put a seal upon you. Then you have to journey and then graduate again. So each level of sanctification or each level of holiness or righteousness is a graduation. And each of them is a promise. Every name is a promise. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
So what is the promise he has promised us? Okay, let us see the book of 2 Peter. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Second Peter. I believe God wants us to teach these things and teach them and teach them till they become very clear to us. And when they are clear, we will have the frameworks through which we will begin to interpret the scripture properly. Amen.
Amen.
2 Peter chapter 1. I'll read from verse 1. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 1. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, unto them that have obtained like precious faith through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through what? The knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. So grace and peace comes through what? Knowledge. When he says grace and peace are the greeting of the epistles, right? Most of Paul's epistles, you greet them grace and peace. Amen. Grace and peace, grace and peace, grace and peace. Praise the Lord. Grace and peace are the content of the name of God. Remember in the book of Numbers chapter 6, Numbers 23, sorry. Praise the Lord. The Lord spake unto Moses, says, say unto Aaron and to his sons, in this wise shall you bless the children of Israel. Right? So you say unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. That is grace. Okay? And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That's peace. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And then, so shall you put my what? Name upon what? The children of Israel, and I will bless them. Right. Amen. Thank you. Numbers chapter 23. No, that's it. 23 verse 6. Numbers chapter 6, verse 23. Sorry, the other way. Numbers 6:23. Amen. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his son, saying, on this wise shall ye bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord what? Bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. That's grace. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and then give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel. And then what? I will bless them. So the blessing is the name. Amen. And the content of the blessing is what? Grace and peace. So that's why you see Paul in the beginning of his letter will what? Say grace and peace unto you. So it was almost a priestly blessing. But the same way a priest whose lips should keep knowledge will bless the people. Praise the Lord. Because each epistle is our portions. They are instrument to which of blessing to which you will come into the name of God. The name of the Lord, so you put my name upon them. That my name is the promise. Praise the Lord. But that name has promises. Amen. And all the other names are promises of that name. Does it make sense? The name is the main promise, but you have to break, you can't come into all the promise at once. You have to break the name into portions. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Does it make sense?
Yes,
amen. So you see, these epistles are conveyors of the instrument of blessing. If you don't come into the wisdom and the knowledge of the epistles, you won't come into development of stature in the spirit. The epistles have to open up for you to grow into the stature of Christ. Now it says verse 3. Amen. So according as 2 Peter. Verse 3. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Is everything okay? Are we fine this morning?
Yes.
Are we following? See, according as his divine power. We spoke about the divine power. Which is Christ. Yes. Right? According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to what? Life and God. Now, this word life and godliness is the promise. Okay? Eternal life is what? Eternal life, which is the life of the most holy place, which is the life of God. Amen.
Amen.
Is all the divine nature. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
See, according as his divine power had given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are what? Giveth unto us exceeding great and precious what? Promises. How many promises? They are plural. Praise the Lord. But we know it's one promise. This is the promise which he has promised us, eternal life. But that promise now divides into what? Promises. Amen. That by these you might be partakers of what? The divine nature. What is the divine nature? Is God? Eternal life. So by these might be partakers of eternal life or the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world, amen, through lust. Praise the Lord. So they want to buy promises. Praise the Lord. So by promises, you should be what? Partakers of the divine nature. So without coming into these promises, or what you call exceeding great and precious promises, you can't come into what? The divine nature of God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, to come to eternal life, you need a journey of righteousness. Because some of us are far, very far away from that place, right? You need the righteousness of God to bring you into sanctification. Okay. Now, as you're operating righteousness, there are three things you need to come into. You see that these promises are divided into three. We'll see them. Now, these promises are divided into three, and there are three levels of what? Of separation. Or things that righteousness will rot in you. First of all, when you come into this promise, now these promises are promises to Israel. So obviously, if you're not born again, you're not even coming, you can't talk of promises yet. You understand? They're not promises to unbeliever. They're promises to Israel. Okay? So the first thing, you get born again. So you get born again, you become Israel. Then the first promise, Amen. The first promise, which is the first name, or the first anointed operation of the anointing, or allocation of the anointing you come into, is the promise of separation. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The first promise of what?
Separation.
Separation. So that means out of Israel. Everybody is just Israel. No, Israel are all interesting kind of people. They do all kinds of things. So when you begin to teach Israel righteousness, Israel, they will learn righteousness and begin to do righteousness to a point whereby their righteousness, they will become separated. So you will now begin to discern. Wow, there's a... So I want you... Everything I'm saying now, please. This is the end of this ministration today. Is God, I want you to begin to see the journey of the soul. Because that's what the anointing is for. To bring you to God. Or to give you inheritance, eternal life. But it's a journey, a process. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So the first thing the anointing does is to begin to separate you. Because it's the holy oil. You have an unction from what? The Holy One. Amen. Now, the Holy Spirit is also a spirit of promise. So when you get born again, this is the first phase. Amen. Is everybody following? I want everybody to follow today. Yeah. So when you get born again, you are just born again, then you come into the first promise. Or you begin to see the first promise, which is the first activity of the anointing, is to what? Begin the process of separation. They have to separate you. There are some Israel who are stubborn, who will say, we are not joining, we just want to go to heaven. Mm-hmm. They will be there. Those who want to journey, who begin to come into dealings of the anointing, you will see that by virtue of what they are doing, what the anointing is working out within them, they will begin to find a separated life. They won't be behaving like the rest. Not because they just want to feel like they're anything. No. Just because they are obeying leading of spirit. You can't obey the leading of the spirit and be the same. It's not possible. Right? As you are obeying leading, as you are being led, you are giving yourself to the life of the unction. The unction will begin to separate you. You begin to live a separated kind of life. Praise the Lord. Now, I want you to understand that all the Holy Ghost is the one who is the deliverer of the promises. Are you okay? The Holy Ghost is the one who will deliver what? All the promise. He will start from the beginning and he will finish. He will be graduating you till he brings you to eternal life fully. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, let's just read a few things about that Holy Spirit. I want us to be established. Understand. Let's see Galatians. Thank you, Father. Galatians chapter 3. Okay. Galatians 3, verse. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Galatians chapter 3, let's see verse 13 and 14. Continue.
First have
redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us.
Yeah.
For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree.
Mm-hmm.
But the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles
through
Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Okay, amen. Mm-hmm. So that we might receive what? The promise of the Spirit. Now, that promise of the Spirit is not that they promised you to give you the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You understand? It's not just saying, I promised you the Spirit, so I will give it to you. It's more that you read the Bible more, you understand that there's something different. He's telling you that you might receive the promise which the Holy Ghost is supposed to deliver. You see? It's the promise of the Spirit. So the only way, that's why they term it the promise, what God actually promised Abraham is actually a promise of the Spirit. Until the Spirit comes to the earth. Jesus was here. He said, I have to go. If I don't go, he won't come. He said that when he comes, he will show you things to come. That's language of promise. Understand? He will show you what? Things to come. We think of what is man and declare them to you. He will show you what? Things to come. So the Holy Spirit is a spirit that brings what? Things to come. He declares things to come. By showing you things to come, he's bringing you towards those things. Amen. So he is the spirit of promise. So all our promises in God, all the promises of God in him are yea and amen. Praise the Lord. All our promises are inside the ghost. They are inside what? If you don't come into the ghosted life, the spirit life, you can't come into the promises of God. You can live a Christian life on the air, but it's just a life. You are just among all the congregation of Israel. You have not been awakened into, there's a consciousness of separation and inheritance. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It will take stepping into the life of the Spirit, coming into the anointed life. Amen. Yeah. That's a life that will begin to, you will now begin to see the promise. And you will begin to journey towards the promise. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So he says that the promise of the Spirit, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through what?
Faith.
Through faith. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, let us see the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
we worship you. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you. Verse 12. Ephesians 1, verse 12.
That we should be to the praise of his glory.
Yes.
Who first trusted in Christ.
Okay.
In whom ye also trusted.
Yes.
That ye heard the word of truth.
Okay.
The gospel of your salvation.
Yes.
In whom also, after that ye believed.
Yes.
Ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise.
Okay.
Which is the earnest of our inheritance.
Okay.
Until the redemption of the purchased possession.
Unto the praise.
The praise of his glory.
Praise the Lord. You see it. Okay. So Paul was reminding them, you see. This was before he now began to pray that the eyes of the understanding be enlightened and all that. Okay. He began to say to them that there was a time you first trusted. That was the beginning point when the word of truth was preached to you, the gospel of your salvation. So that was speaking of the time when your spirit was saved. That was the first trust, when you first trusted in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The gospel of salvation, in whom also after then ye believed. You were not then what? Sealed with that Holy Spirit. Understand? So if these people have not been sealed with the Holy Spirit, they won't begin to pray for spirit of wisdom and revelation. Understand? Sealed with the Holy Spirit means they've come into fullness of the name of the Holy Ghost. That's a seal. The seal is a name. Understand? So because they've come into this fullness of that name, then the spirit can now become seven. So you now begin to pray for what? The seven spirits, which ministers the name of the Son.
Sorry, so believing just being the seed of the Spirit.
No, no. Believing, when you get born again, is the beginning.
Because it says having believed.
Yes.
You were sealed.
Having believed, after you believed,
okay.
Then you were sealed.
Okay.
So that sealing is, when you say you were, whenever someone says you were sealed, it's not just an act. It's a journey. We've learned, right?
Yeah.
So to be sealed is a journey. Jesus went through that journey. When he came to Luke chapter 4, he said, and Jesus being full. They didn't say that about him before. But being full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, so he says, also after you believed, you were then sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. They call him the Holy Spirit of what?
Promise.
Of promise. So it's like read before, it's a spirit for promise. Now, when you receive that Holy Spirit of promise, okay, you haven't received the promise. You've received the Holy Spirit of promise. Amen.
Amen.
So the Holy Spirit of promise, he has to now take you. He has to continue his work of what? Of. Okay. Of promise journey. Praise the Lord. To bring you into the promise itself. And how will he do it? He has to begin to administer to you the promises. Yes. So he has to bring the promises to you. And each promise is a level of separation. Or each promise is a degree of holiness. Because they called him the Holy Spirit. And that place they call him the Spirit of Holiness. And there's a difference. Okay, we'll talk about that. By God's grace. There's a difference between righteousness and holiness, yes.
When the scriptures
Jesus, shall not hold it.
When they go into saying that, when he gets to the part that he refers to the Spirit of Christ,
yeah.
What is that like another sin?
Yes. Spirit of Christ, Spirit of the Lord. You see, the Spirit of the Lord. It's not just Holy Spirit of promise now. Okay. Because in that Luke chapter 4, after the baptism, Jesus being full of what the Holy Ghost, when you go down there, when he now went into the temple, what did he say? The Spirit, he didn't say the Holy Spirit is upon me. He said the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So that's the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is the Spirit in the holy place. Yeah. Or the fullness of the seven spirits. As the Spirit of the Lord. So that's the center one. So there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Isaiah 11. And a branch out of his root. And the Spirit of the Lord shall be upon him. That Spirit of the Lord is the Spirit. But you now need those other ones too. As you start on Spirit of wisdom and revelation, counsel and mind, knowledge and the fear of the Lord. When those are full, then you've come into the Spirit of the Lord. So the Spirit of the Lord is the Spirit that has wisdom and revelation, counsel and mind, knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So that middle one, in the seventh one, that one symbolizes the fullness of everything. Because you saw the picture, it's graduation. Each graduation, there's two. Next graduation, there's two. The other graduation, you come into that one, which is the fullness of all. Of the Lord.
Sorry, what are the Spirit of Christ?
This is the same.
It's the same, okay.
Yes. It's
the
same. Yeah, sorry? Yeah, so at that, the offering, so you see, wisdom and revelation, counsel and mind, knowledge and the fear of the Lord, they opened up dimensions in the bread.
Mm-hmm. What you're saying now is that as you're gaining those spirits,
yes. As you are gaining the Spirit, you know, those spirits, in the holy place, that's where those spirits become their operation. The holy place is the operation of those spirits. Because in the holy place, you don't have a lamp without light. You have a lamp that is burning. That is fullness of those spirits. You understand? Those spirits might have started being operational. I mean, someone who is in, as a believer, right, you start having little, as you are getting closer to the tabernacle, you begin to see little operations of those spirits. Wisdom and revelation, for example. As you are getting closer, they will begin to operate. But when they are full light, that full light is the fullness. It means that it has operated to the point where you have the full ability of the light. Praise the Lord. That, amen. Does it make sense? Mm-hmm. So it's fullness of the seven spirits. Amen.
Amen.
When you think tabernacle now, don't think of your house. You shouldn't think of a house or tent anymore. What should you be thinking of? Your soul. You should think of what? Realms of degrees of what? Of holiness. Degrees of separation. Those things are just symbolic of things that should be happening in your soul. Understand? Okay. This is the way they will make us understand. Otherwise, it will just be a closed knowledge somewhere. They have to use true instrument of metaphors and signs. Amen. So he signed it and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Right? They have to use all these signs, all these things to teach us the knowledge, to demonstrate the knowledge of God. So as you are learning through the knowledge of the tabernacle, you will know that, there's this thing in the spirit I ought to attain. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. So you see here, it says that, in whom ye also trusted, after ye have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with what? That Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our what? Inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Earnest means earnest. Down payment? Not that one.
Guarantee.
Not that meaning. Earnest.
A guarantee.
Or a token. Like down payment. Okay. Right. One thing, I have a container of Bibles outside I brought for you. But I'm going to be bringing them now. Just take this one. This is the earnest of them. Understand what I'm saying? So this is a token. This is a token. Or this is a down payment. Okay? Now, when you're looking at this down payment is a promise that everything is what? Is coming. That's what the word earnest. If you can Google it later, you will find the meaning of the word. So he said that this is the earnest of what? Our inheritance. So by the time you receive this premise, spirit of promise, you haven't received your inheritance yet. Thus, this Holy Spirit is not your inheritance. No. Your inheritance is eternal life. Your inheritance is eternal life of God. Praise the Lord. Your inheritance is to come into the highest holiness, or the holy of holies, or the most holy. Most holy means when holiness has finished. You finish the cause of holiness. That's where God resides. And so the work of the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of holiness, is to administer the levels of holiness, or the promises, to you. Does that make sense? Until the redemption of what? The purchased possession. Until the praise of his glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, how does the Holy Spirit impart holiness? The anointing. Amen. That question you asked, we'll just look at that and then we'll be done for today. Now, holiness. You spoke about holiness and righteousness, right? Difference between holiness and what?
Righteousness.
And righteousness. Now, righteousness is what you need to do to become holy. Righteousness produces holiness. Make sense? Mm-hmm. Righteousness is someone when you come born again, okay, and then you are just an Israel. Now you want to move to separation. How do you move into separation? You have to start what? Doing, walking in righteousness, or doing righteousness. Understand? So righteousness is being revealed to you by the gospel, because the gospel is the power of God, which is Christ, unto salvation. Right? For therein, in that righteousness is the, in the gospel, sorry, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That faith to faith means there are graduations in revelation of righteousness. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So there's a degree of righteousness you will be doing. You will become separated. Those who are separated are those who have not entered into sanctification. They are not inside the tabernacle, but they've been separated. They are around the tabernacle. It's a type of the Levites. You know, the Levites are not just Israel. They're actually a holy nation. God brought out of Israel, God brought a whole different nation out of them. God said, this is my own nation. I can't make all of you. All of you don't want to be holy, but I will bring my own nation out of you. Praise the Lord. And he, out of all the Israel, when they got there, he gave each tribe lands. But when he came to the tabernacle, he said the Levites, their own land is around the tabernacle. You understand? So they have been separated from the people. They are not all Levites are inside, operating inside the tabernacle, but they are around it. They have been separated from the people. That's the first level of holiness. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, those Levites, they have their laws of righteousness that they are keeping. When you come to where Levites are, you see that their life, the Levitical life, is different from the way the normal Israelites will live. You understand? Mm-hmm. An example, the normal Israelite has to go and farm their land. Okay? And then have to rely on the sun and the rain to fall on the ground. Yes, the sweat of their face, that curse that God cursed man, said, in the sweat of your face shall you eat bread. That's what God told man in the garden. That's what the Israelites were still living under. But the Levites, they can't do that. It's out of what they bring. That's what the Levites have to what? Out of the tithes of Israel. So the Levites are not permitted to go and farm any land. Each of them have their own inheritance there in that tabernacle. So what does that tell you? That's a degree of what? Of separation. They are separate people. So the more you do righteousness, okay, because that tells you the life of reliance on God's provision is actually an attribute of holiness. It's not a pride thing. I'm a very hard worker. That's the cause. You know, sometimes Satan has taught us to glory in stuff that, you know, man wasn't made for that kind of survival work. You are tilling the ground. The ground is fighting you. I'm not breaking today. You bring your mighty, you know. You are trying to defeat the ground. You are warring with the ground. Before you have, you can bring, you know, reap and eat. You have war with the ground for like half of a year or something. Praise the Lord. That's the curse. Amen. But there's a higher way to live where things begin to serve you. That's why the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and then other things shall be added. So that Levitical life was a demonstration of the life of the righteous. The life of the righteous is the life where things are added to you. You are walking because you are walking unto God. But whatever you do, do that unto the Lord. But in terms of how your provision will come, what food you will eat, what you will wear, that's not stuff that you are using energy to produce. Because you've entered a separated life. When you are separated, things will what? Serve you. The same way Israelites will go and walk and then bring their tithe. It's the tithe they bring. That's what the Levites eat. So it's a different kind of life. That's a separation. But there are other levels of separation. Amen. This is the first promise. To come into that life is the first promise. And there's another promise where you are not just separate. You become sanctified. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I want to show us quickly. Can we just do a very quick walk right now and then round up? Very quick. We'll just do something very quick. And then, because I want to show us the scripture, praise the Lord, so that we can, you know, go and read them, meditate upon them. Praise God. Amen. Now, let's see Romans chapter 6. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Worship you. Mishone Kelion. Amen. Sona. Avaranoste prosi ama elona. Thank you, Shen Hosea. Avaranoste prosi suhonan. Avaranosia numano. Mashasia, Nostia, Prana, Fasia. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, let's see Romans chapter 6, okay? Thank you. Verse 17, okay? Romans 6, 17, it says, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you." Okay? "And then being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." All right, now, that process of being made free from sin, becoming a servant of righteousness, is when you actually became born again. You begin to learn, after you get born again, then you now begin to learn righteousness. When you are a sinner, you didn't have any debt to righteousness. You didn't have any kind of obligation to righteousness. You were just the devil's child. But when you became born again, you now had a debt and obligation to what? So you are not free to just do anything. Whenever you sin, you are taking, touching, the life of sin is not your natural life anymore. It becomes a foreign life to you. Because you have become a servant of righteousness. Every child of God who is born again has become what? A servant of righteousness. You are indebted to righteousness. You are obligated to do righteousness. That's what you were born again for. Amen. Because you've been made free from sin. Now verse 19, "I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of my flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity and unto iniquity, even so now yield your members." So before you were serving iniquity, unto iniquity. But now, because you are born again, even so now yield your members servants to what? Righteousness. Unto what? Holiness. You get. Now, nobody is holy the day they get born again. It's not possible. Okay? If I can define it to you, and you can see maybe righteousness is what you do. Holiness is a state you come into. So you do righteousness to come into the state of holiness.
Who dwells between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim.